So the theme of our service today is seeing is believing. And as we've just seen there, we don't always see what's right in front of us. And there's a well-known video like that where people are playing basketball and you have to watch who's passing the ball to whom, and there's a gorilla appears. And quite often, I mean, I didn't see it the first time I saw it. So it's amazing. We don't always see what's right in front of us, and that may be quite surprising to us. And particularly we don't see if we're concentrating something or if it's unexpected. So why did the disciples not see Jesus in the story that we listened to earlier? Because that's really quite puzzling. Well, I think there's two possible explanations. We don't actually know because the Bible doesn't tell us, but it was either because they were simply not expecting to see Jesus, and that's obviously because he'd just been killed on the Friday. And as I said, this story, the road to Emmaus, takes place on Sunday evening. So this is the day of the resurrection. All the events have happened earlier in the day, and the two disciples are kind of walking home from Jerusalem to Emmaus, which is about 7 miles away. So either they weren't expecting to see Jesus and just completely zoned them out, or maybe somehow Jesus himself, his appearance, was they were kept from recognizing him. The Bible doesn't say that Jesus' appearance was changed in any way, but maybe they were kept from recognizing them until Jesus kind of responded to their kind of awareness of him and their growing belief. So they say seeing is believing, but is that really true? Sometimes when we see things, it can start to help us believe things. But actually the way that we see is quite complicated. We don't actually see with our eyes, we see with our brains. Our brains construct the images from the things that we see. And the way that we understand what we see is influenced by many factors. It's often said, in terms of looking at things, that the camera does not lie. If we have a straightforward picture of something, the camera cannot lie. But as a photographer, I know that's absolutely not true. The camera always lies. And the reason it lies is it's because it's taking a particular perspective of a picture from here. And it's not over here, and it's not over here. So the camera has a particular perspective. Now, the camera always lies because the actual depth of field of a camera is different from the human eye, so it sees differently, and it also renders colours differently. So the camera always lies, and we always see things that are quite different. In that picture there, we see the sea. And for some of us, that might be a reminder of a fantastic holiday we've had. It might be a reminder of a boat trip. It might be, like me, a reminder of going in the sea and getting really, really cold and not a pleasant memory. So when we see things, we don't necessarily always believe them. We don't necessarily all be believing, but believing helps us to see differently. And that's what I wanted to talk about a little bit. So seeing is not always believing. We don't always believe what we see. We see things quite strangely sometimes. When the disciples believed, I can't read my own slide there, they started to see Jesus differently. And Jesus was present with them. He spoke to them. He ate with them. And the disciples started to believe. They had these many doubts. How could anybody come back to life? And it's great that they had all those doubts, because if they had simply not had those doubts, it would be much harder for us ourselves to take that as a record and believe it. But they had their doubts. And now they not only started to see Jesus, but they actually started to believe that he was alive and he was part of God's plan for the world. And in our earlier reading, that's what Jesus kept saying. He was explaining to them why he was there, why he came, lived, why he died. It was all part of God's plan for us. And this leads us to this next sort of observation here, that seeing does lead to believing. But when we start to believe, believing helps us to see things differently as well. So seeing leads to believing, but believing leads to seeing things differently. And the disciples started to see their world and their lives differently. The goal here today is to learn to see what God sees. So we see things based on our lives, our experiences, and our beliefs. But what we want to do as Christians, as we start this journey of faith with the disciples, we want to start learning to see what God sees. And I think there's three things, and they're very simple, and I'm just going to leave them with you now. As we believe, we start to see ourselves as God sees us. And that's a big subject. We're not going to go into that today. But we see ourselves as God sees us. We start to see others as God sees them. And we start to see what God is doing by his Spirit. So seeing leads to believing, but believing leads us to see everything very differently. So, seeing is believing. It's quite an interesting observation, isn't it? I just wanted to talk a little bit about the Emmaus Road and what that means for us today. So I think the first thing to say is that the disciples saw Jesus, as did many others. And Jesus deliberately chose to appear to people to give evidence for the resurrection. And we know from Scripture that Jesus appeared to over 500 people after the resurrection. And in the New Testament writings, particular importance was placed upon naming the eyewitnesses. And the reason for that was that they wanted to have credible eyewitnesses who could say that they'd actually seen and met Jesus after the resurrection. And that's probably why Cleopas is named in this story, because he was identified as a witness of the resurrection. And that's really exciting. And that's one of our famous Bible scholars, Richard Borkham's done a lot of work over the last few years about the eyewitnesses to the resurrection and just highlighting the importance to the early church of who those eyewitnesses were, of preserving their testimony so that, you know, we could see and have that information. As we looked last week, in great detail, there was reliable and convincing evidence that Jesus died and was raised to life. So in this case, seeing is believing. The disciples were surprised and astonished, and it seems that they were quite slow to start believing in the resurrection. But they did, and they started to understand God's plan for the past and the present, and indeed the future. So seeing is believing. They started slowly, but they got there. And then they started to just look at the other side now. Believing is seeing, as they started to realize what had happened. As they started to realize what were the consequences of Jesus being raised to life are absolutely huge. They started to see and believe in that way. What does it mean for them, and what does it mean for us? Well, it means, amazingly, that God has a plan to restore this broken world, to restore broken people, and to restore broken societies, to be utterly beautiful, to be what they were always intended to be. And that's something we won't fully see until heaven, but it is something that's starting right now. It means that men and women, all of us, can now live in love and harmony with God, with each other, and with creation. And that wasn't possible before that. And it means that God is actively involved in changing and restoring our world right now through his own direct interventions and through the interventions of Christians who are loving and serving him and actively working to be part of God's kingdom. It means that our lives have an amazing purpose and mission to love God and to love neighbours as ourselves. And it means that we have a life that continues through and past death into a future and restored world. Now, if you're a Christian, you'll be familiar with those things, but none of those things would have been the case if Jesus hadn't been raised from the dead. And the disciples had a growing awareness that as they believed that Jesus had risen from the dead, it changed the way that they were thinking about the world and seeing the world. So for them, believing was seeing as well. What does this mean for us today? So kind of fast-forwarding here. What does it mean for us today, that kind of road to Emmaus story? In the passage there, the disciples met with Jesus. They didn't realize it was Jesus to start with, but he actually met with them. So what does that mean for us today? Well, it means that God wants to work with us as individuals, as Christians, and he wants to do that much, much, much more than we want him to do that. We think sometimes in our Christian faith that we have to make a big effort and we have to do lots of things, and that's true. We do have to make an effort. But actually, all the efforts we make are in response to what God is already doing in our lives. And we see this in the passage today. It was Jesus, it was God in Jesus who came to see the disciples. They were just walking along. Walking back, he came to see them. He came alongside them. And it was God who took the initiative to speak to them. And it's always God who takes the initiative to speak to us. And he waited in that original account. He waited for their response. And as he got to the destination, Jesus would have walked on. He made that quite plain. He would have walked on, but he waited. He gave them a chance to respond and to invite him into their lives. Now, they didn't need to do that. If they hadn't said, stay, Jesus presumably would have just walked on. How often does that happen to us when Jesus might be tapping us on the shoulder? We might realize in prayer that he wants us to do something, or we kind of feel, I think maybe, and then, oh no, I got too busy, and something just passes by. But Jesus will never force his way into our lives. He will always come alongside us. But without that response from us, God would not have revealed himself to the early disciples, and he does not reveal himself to us unless we first invite him in. And that's why it's so critical that we should pray and ask God to show us what he's doing, to lead us, to guide us, and to allow us to get involved in this amazing privilege of serving him. Now then, God's presence was experienced through Jesus, through Christ's physical presence, and now it's changed. God's presence for us is still through the Holy Spirit, through this way that God can actually live inside us. So this is how God, seeing as God sees us, we have that opportunity every day, every moment to respond to what God's doing. And he is doing things in our lives. He is doing things in the lives of those around us. He always is, but we often don't see it. So the journey on the Emmaus Road, I think we can learn a lot from this journey for ourselves, because it is actually the same journey that we take today. God journeying with us and working through us by his Holy Spirit. Now, this is the journey which we started on the Emmaus Road, and it's the journey that we can walk now with our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ and the Lord himself. We always have that chance to respond to what God is saying and doing, inviting him to stay and journey together with us. It's all too easy to miss those invitations in the business of life, in the business of work, in the distractions that we all know. And we miss out if we do that. It's been very interesting for me to get involved with a sort of Christian blog, which my brother pointed me at, called Gravity Leadership, and they had this podcast. I can give you the details if you're really interested in it, about how much God wants to be involved in our lives. Often we forget that. We think, I've got to make an effort. I've got to read my Bible more. I've got to do this. I've got to do that. But it's God who really, really, really wants to be involved in our lives. And he's just waiting for us to turn around and respond to him. And you and I, we need to decide whether we're going to make that journey with God, responding to those specific challenges of faith, or whether we just journey our own and just ignore it and get on with regular routine stuff, which is all too easy to do. So if that's spoken to you today, and if you want to start or continue that journey of faith, and you'd appreciate talking with someone to sort of talk that through or pray that through, then Jill or myself, a member of the prayer team, would be really happy to do that. But I just want to leave those thoughts with you today about seeing is believing, believing in seeing, and actually starting to, as we believe, to see the world differently. We've got to have a couple more songs of worship, and then there's a responsive prayer which we're going to say together to kind of ask God to help us to see the world and to see each other and to see our lives much more as he sees them. We're going to say a prayer together, so I invite you to join me in the words of this prayer of confession, which hopefully will appear in a minute. Let's read this together. God of infinite mercy and grace, I have not seen myself the way that you see me, beautiful and worthy and good. Forgive me and turn me back towards the light. I have not seen others the way that you see them, loved and accepted and part of my family. Forgive me and turn me back towards the light. I have not seen what you are doing around me, how you want to involve me in transforming the world by acts of love and trust. Forgive me and turn me back towards the light. I have not seen your creation the way you see it, sacred and precious and in need of my care. Forgive me and turn me back towards the light. For when I have not lived in faith, for when I have not lived in hope, for when I have not lived in love, forgive me and turn me back towards the light. Thank you that you are the God of restoration. Restore me now in your wonderful light, in the name of Christ. Amen.